you know, the Word of God is many faceted. I read a scripture and I think I know exactly what it's talking about. And you can go and say, well, I know that story, I know that. But it's many faceted to the degree that wherever you're at in life, or God can speak something to you out of an obscure scripture that maybe you didn't see before. And so this is, I want to highlight something in this text this morning. And if you could, we're going to go to Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to begin with verse 36. And it says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, speaking of Jesus, of course. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was sat at the table in the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself and saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Now, how many know Jesus could have just said it? I think this kind of perturbed Jesus. Can I just say that? Can I read a little bit in this? Have you ever walked up to a friend or a family member and said, we need to talk? Well, it's because there's more to it than the story. Jesus is reading the mind of the host and pulls him aside and said, can I just say something to you for a minute? And Simon said, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he had forgiven the more. And he said to him, you have said and rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased from kissing my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whoever is forgiven little loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat around the table with him began to speak to themselves, who is this who forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Lord, I just ask today that you would give us clarity. I thank you for hungry hearts and open minds, and I thank you for this brand new day. Lord, I just ask today, Lord God, that scales would fall off our eyes, that we would be able to see what you see. That's my heart, and I know this is our fellowship's desire. And Lord, we give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we could talk a lot on this text, and there's been a lot of messages preached out of this. How many know forgiven much loves much? That's the context of what we're talking about here. We could talk about honor, and we could talk about hospitality. We could talk about judging one another based on what we see in the natural. But I want to talk about one specific thing that jumped out to me, and it's been on my heart for really a couple of weeks. Jesus, when he walks in the house, how many know God is very, of course, perceptive. I want to have the perception that God has. I want to see what God sees. And what Jesus does is he says, look at the woman. Behold the woman. Now, with that being said, I want to say this. What Jesus was actually saying was, look at this woman. You obviously don't see what I see in her. For years, we pray for revival. We pray for a great awakening. We pray for a move of God. the heavens to be opened up. But in the last few weeks, I've been praying for something specific. And it's this: God, help me to see what you see. Jesus said it like this. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. So could we just collaborate a little bit in this text and say, maybe God has already done something. Maybe revival and restoration is here, but maybe we are dull in our hearing and don't see what he's doing. So it shifts me praying, Lord, do something, do something, do something, to me saying to the Lord, help me to see something, see something, see something. Because Jesus said this, the key to revival and miracle in his life, he said, I only do what I see the Father do. So I say in this generation, Lord, help us to see what you see. Because I don't see things the way he sees them. I would say a lot of the time. Years ago is 1590. The microscope was invented. How has our life changed because of a microscope? I mean, how many of you would like to be a military person back during the Civil War, where they didn't know about bacteria? I mean, the guy would go from eating chicken wings to sawing off your chicken wing in the battlefield. I mean, they wouldn't wash their hands, anything. All of these microscopic organisms that were there that were detrimental to our health. The guy that created the microscope, he did not really create anything. He just made something that would allow us to see something that was already there. It allowed us to see into a different world that had always existed. Could you imagine living today without knowing about microorganisms and biology and the things that we do because of that simple invention? I'd say this: God has a microscope, a telescope, a periscope. God's got more ways to show us more things in the spirit. With everything, all the clamor and the clutter and everybody's opinion what's going on right now, I just want to say this. I want to say, Lord, what do you see? Because that's what I want to agree with. I want to agree with what God is seeing, get in the middle of what he's seeing so I can perceive the world that I'm in and the person that I'm supposed to be the right way. Where a prophet saw dry bones, God saw a mighty army. Where a prophet saw defeat, when he opened the eyes of Elijah, he saw that they were encamped round about by God's heavenly host that were about to take out the enemy. But if we didn't have eyes to see, we would be living the lie of false defeat. Because we simply weren't seeing the things that God had for us to see. I only do what I see the Father do. Saul thought that he was a righteous man, and according to the law, he was. But it wasn't until the Lord put scales on his eye to show that he was really spiritually blind and removed those through a guy by the name of Ananias, that he had memorized the whole Old Testament, but he couldn't see what the Old Testament, though he memorized it, was all about until the scales fell off his eye and the Spirit of God gave him fresh sight. I think God's got fresh sight for us in this church this morning. And I'll say this, we of all people in this house, God's called us to be a lot of things. He's called us to be salt. He's called us to be light. He's called us to be a city on the hill. But one of the main things I think that the Lord has raised this church up and this people up to be are seers. That when most people walk into a room, they see obstacles, we see opportunities. Where most people are downtrodden and beaten down, that we can prophetically, with open eyes, see. You know, it says that who Jesus is in the book of Revelation. John, the Apostle John said, we used to know Jesus after the flesh, but now we know him no more after the flesh. He looks different. His physical body is manifested or caught up to his spiritual condition. And it says one of the things in Revelation, the second chapter and the first chapter about God, is that his eyes are a flame of fire. I mean, God sees as clear in the dark as he does in the daytime. I want to have that same discernment to be able to see what God is doing in my life, in my family's life, in my church. And I'll say this, we're called to a territory. have a friend, he's a father in the faith to me, Billy Epperhart. And one of my best friends is a guy by the name of Mike Davis. And Mike Davis was one of those guys whose back was against a wall. He had pastored for over 30 years. He had no savings, was getting older, no one to pass the church on to at that point in his life. And Billy sat down with him and he said, I just don't know what to do financially for my future. And Billy took, can I just say something? How many of you are, you just declared this morning, you are leaders? I got one person that's a leader in this church. Well, I'm preaching to you this morning, sis, because everybody else hasn't come to the revelation. I pray you look at yourself in the mirror and say that I'm a leader, because you influence no less than 7 people a day. Everybody's leading something, right? We're all leaders. A leader is somebody that sees things other people can't see. It never ceases to amaze me. Can I just pick on all of us a little bit? Never ceases to amaze me how people will walk in a church or in a parking lot and walk past a piece of trash and not pick it up. Maybe they didn't see it. Seriously, it's called muscle memory. You're not looking for that. You're looking at the kids and the, making sure she's not pulling his hair and all that. I get that. But how many of you know when Trish Pickering walks through this parking lot and Faith Reeves walk through this parking lot, they have eyes to see. I can't believe they just walked past that Casey's wrapper because they've led something, because they've served something. They have a different set of eyes to see. Leaders are seers. And so here's Mike Davis. I'm back to my story. And Mike's back was against a wall, and he saw that he had $5,000 in the bank, had served the church for years. His devotion was off the charts, precious man of God. And Billy just said, give me a piece of paper. And he gave him a piece of paper. They didn't have a piece of paper at a restaurant. He drew on a napkin. Mike, this is what I see about you, and this is what I think you should do. Boom, 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 boom. And Mike says to this day, I so wish I would have kept that napkin. Because what Billy saw in my life and saw in the financial realm and saw how I could be free to transition at any point that I needed to, he said, was on that napkin in a little hieroglyph. He set me financially free because he saw things that I didn't see. I want to see what God sees. I want to see what Jesus says. Jesus looked at that woman and he said, behold the woman. He saw something in the woman that nobody else saw. Everybody else saw her as a sinner, but Jesus saw her as the most hospitable person, the most humble person, the most meek person in the room. And so here's a scripture. I want to read this real quick. By the way, I will say this. Jesus sees the woman at the well. And the disciples are looking at him who's getting a drink from this woman. They saw Jesus drinking water that an unclean woman had given him. And he says, you don't even see what I see. It's easy to just look at that and judge the whole thing. He says, you say X amount of months until the harvest. He said, I pray that you could see what I'm seeing, not just me and a woman at a well. He said, I see the field is white unto harvest, and all of Samaria was coming out to be born again. But they were just focused on that thing. They were short-sighted. Where the disciples saw the destruction of their faith, Jesus with the cross, he saw the redemption of all things. Give me eyes to see. John 5:19, as I said before, I only do what I see the Father do. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his power, he has given us all things. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Isn't it good news that if God said that, it's true? And the flip side of it is that a lot of things we're praying for, maybe we already have. What if that is actually true? If he has, past tense, already given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, where is it at? I want to ask, I want to seek, I want to knock. I want God to open my eyes of understanding. Because everything that I'm believing for is probably already here. It's just like going to the optometrist. You sit in that chair, they put the the big thing. I think they still do that. They do at the one I go to anyway. And they put those little slides. Can you see better now? Can you see better now? Can you see better now? I see that happen in the spirit this morning. This morning, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Because if you can see it, get a hold of this, you can seize it. If you can't see it, you can't get it. If you're groping around, in fact, Jesus said this. He said that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day, they were blind guides leading the blind. God can have something for you, but if we're walking in darkness, we'll never know how to seize it. But if I can see it, I can seize it. I can receive it for myself. I want to give us four simple things that maybe we can do to improve our spiritual eyesight. Because I need to see where God's at. Dr. Lemon and Mary Kinzel would say the key to reformation, restoration, and revival is to see what God's doing and get in the middle of it. I mean, that's a pretty good plan. I want to see where God's at. I want to see what he's doing, and I want to get in the middle of it. Now listen, sometimes with our natural eyes, we might think something's okay, and God might say it's not okay, right? Jesus looked at the church of Laodicea, and they were wealthy and prosperous, and everything looked right. In the natural, it looked good. But in the spiritual, Jesus said, I say that you're poor, hungry, naked, and blind. Go buy for yourself the things that really matter, because you become complacent. And so sometimes when something looks good in the natural, God says it's substandard in the spirit. So four things, if you're taking notes, four things that I would like for us to meditate on so that we can get our spiritual eyes back. One of the things I love about Moses, it says that he grew in his old age, 120 years old. It said his step was unabated and his eye was not dim. How'd you like to? Well, some of us wouldn't want to be 120 years old. My grandma, when I prayed for her to live another year, she'd like, don't pray that. I'm ready to see Jesus. But it said that Moses, his step was unabated and his eye was not dim. I just don't think that that was natural. He didn't have glaucoma or anything like that. I think his spiritual eyes were sharp and sensitive to where he was at and what God was doing. So number one, if we were to look at just maybe four things that would help us to keep our spiritual eyes. I like Ephesians 1:18. That the eyes of our understanding, this is a prayer that we pray. Could we do this week? I'm going to hold my guys accountable in our men's prayer meeting this week. Let's pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we would fully understand what the Lord has for us is what it's talking about. That we wouldn't be blind to what God has for us. That we would get a spirit of revelation knowledge. That we would clearly see. One of the things, anybody heard of Cooper Kupp? He is the MVP this year for the Rams against the Bengals. Now, the Rams had played the Patriots, 2019 in the Super Bowl and lost. And what ended up happening is he's walking off the field, he's disheartened. And am I getting the teams right? Huh? All right, I got one person saying yeah. It's like I get one person cooperating with me at a time. Just at least one every once in a while. And so Cooper's walking off the field, and he's defeated. How many know, as a ball player, you only got so many chances to make it to the Super Bowl, and he made it, and he lost. And when he was walking off the field, he said, I had a vision from God. I had a vision from God. And he said, the Lord told me, he said, I saw myself winning in the Super Bowl. And he said, I saw myself, and the Lord said, you are going to be MVP when you win. And so 2019, he walks off, and he believed it was the word of the Lord. He didn't tell anybody, but he did tell his wife that day. And he said, from that moment on, he said, I realized that it was one of those as it is written. Almost like a page of the Bible. God said you're going to play again in a Super Bowl. God said that you're going to be the MVP. And for the next couple of years, while him and his team trained, he said this, I was not working from I was not working for victory and training for a future victory. He said, I was working from a place of victory. I already knew I had the victory. God already said that I had it. And that was my motivation. How do I get into it? He still practiced. He still showed up. But in doing that by faith, he also knew he was going to win. And he also knew he was going to be MVP. He had a spirit of revelation that fell upon him that showed him. And I want to say this. How many know that? I'm going to say there's two Bibles. There's the Logos, the written word that we have, but how many know there is a Bible that's called your life? We're stuck here in time and space. Makes sense? But God already has your book. That's why prophecy is so important. God already has your story. God's written your story. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have choices. You can believe the story that God wrote about you, or you can choose not to believe the story that God wrote about you. The Bible says God's word, not being mixed with faith, profited the Israelites and that generation for nothing. It was not profitable because it wasn't mixed with faith. But God has your book. He has the book of Dan. He has the book of Bo. He's filled in every pages. He has supernatural opportunities for us. He has relationships for our futures. He's got events for each and every one of us. And wouldn't you just like to be able to get a peek into that book? God, what have you said about me? Lord, what do you have for my future? Well, let's just pray this. Lord, give me a spirit of revelation. That's number one. Number two is to open our eyes. I'm going to say this. It's something called the tithe. The tithe opens your eyesight. It's not about money, it's about heart stuff. How does the tithe open your eyesight? Well, in Malachi, the third chapter, it says this. It says, if you tithe, that the Lord would open a window in heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Open a window. You realize back then, they did not have like Anderson windows, okay? They weren't making stained glass windows or plexiglass anything. Back then, for a window to be open was to be open to a completely different world than on the inside. Back then, to open the window meant actually to take the shutters and swing them open so you could see the world that was around you. It was to be able to turn off the candle or whatever form of light synthetically that was in that room and fling the doors open and see a whole world that you weren't seeing before. God says about the tithe that it will open the shutters of your life. It will open the shutters of your eyes and you will see things and God will pour out blessings through those things that you had never known possible. And so I by faith, whenever I give my tithe, you know what I'm doing it to? I want to keep my eyesight open. I had a guy by the name of Johnny that worked beside me at the slaughterhouse. And it was like, we would read the Bible. Anybody ever read the Bible and just didn't get it? When I first got born, and listen, I still read things and I got to say law. I got to think about it. And sometimes if I don't think about it, I don't get discouraged. I put it on a shelf maybe for another day where God gives me some insight. But some people have bought the lie, I can't understand the Bible. It's too big, it's too long, it's too difficult. Well, maybe it's not a natural or intellectual problem. Maybe it is a spiritual problem. And so I had this guy, Johnny, he was working beside me, and we'd be discussing scriptures with a few of the other guys. And Johnny read his Bible just as much as any of us, but just didn't get it. It was like he was blind. He would say this sometimes, how do you get that out of that scripture? Or how do you see that? Or how did you find that? And maybe he thought, maybe some of these guys are just more spiritual than me. And then one day, we're having our discussion, which is 8 hours a day, all we had to do, side by side on a conveyor belt. And we were talking about the Lord, and Johnny had been reading his Bible, and he came up with some holy nuggets that blew our mind. And I'm like, what, is this the same Johnny? A little bit later in the day, he said, you know, I tried that tithing thing last Sunday. And I immediately correlated. Not the windows of heaven thing, but a simple act of obedience. I'm like, there were certain things God wanted to show him in Scripture. But because he didn't have eyes to see by opening that, we're not working for this, were just recognizing things that God has for us in acts of obedience. His eyes were open to see Scripture, understand it more than ever before. God opened the windows of heaven, opened his heart, opened his eyes, and poured out a blessing upon him through the tithe. I want my shutters in the Spirit wide open during this season. Third thing I want to talk about in opening, keeping our spiritual eyes open to what God's doing, is praying in the Holy Ghost. Are we still a tongue-talking church? We still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost? Eyes not seen, it says. Ears not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, means we just don't see it in the natural. What God has prepared for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But it says that he has revealed them to us, his believers. And it says he reveals them to us who pray with spiritual language and spiritual interpretation or revelation to those who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. One of the ways in which we get our eyes open to what God's doing and see what God's seeing is by simply praying in tongues. It's almost like God begins to adjust. Is that right, Brock? God begins to adjust and begins to open us up. Me and Brian Bedwell were talking about this in our men's prayer group. He just leaned back and he said, I am so thankful for the Holy Ghost, because half the time, I don't even know how to pray. I can only pray so much by what I see in the natural or feel in the natural or have experienced in the natural. But when I pray in tongues, what happens is God opens my spiritual eyes and I begin to see things I never saw before. Praying in the Holy Ghost begins to open up your eyes to certain things in the Spirit that God desperately wants us to see. The last thing that I would say, and I mean, there's a million things. Did we take communion this morning? Did we do that? Did you know communion? This goes along with the last thing, but did you realize when Jesus, at the Lord's Supper, when he was resurrected, as soon as the boys and the ladies got together, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was following a couple of the guys. They went, asked him where he was staying. He said, might as well stay with you. They go in. And it said, when Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were open. We prayed for healing and deliverance and a lot of things this morning with our communion. But how many know when we are in communion with each other and we break bread with each other, it should open us up to a revelation. Our eyes should be open to who Jesus is, and our eyes should be open also to who we are in Christ to each other. Number four, of course, it's people, but I would say mentors. Do all of us or some of us have blind spots in our lives? We just don't see what we see, what we want to see sometimes. And I'm so thankful that God gives us mentors and fathers and mothers that can look into our lives and see things that we don't see. I'll tell you what, my life has been redeemed and saved so many times because of faithful spiritual mothers and fathers and mentors who have come alongside me. I'm about to make a million different decisions in planting the church. And Chuck Clayton would look at me and say, don't do that. Don't do that. How many know sight is a good thing? Sight, you know, you see what is. How many know insight is very valuable? You get insight from people that have been there, done that, got that t-shirt, experienced that. That's why grandmas and grandpas are so important. They can teach us what to do. They can teach us what to do. Not just because they have sight, they have insight. They've been there before. There's nothing new under the sun. And so to have mothers and fathers and people in our lives that can see what we don't see is so important. I want us to stand this morning, if we could. I have a friend by the name of Glenn Johnson. And how many of you know, he's a pastor. He's pastored for over 30 years. And this year, he's not pastoring anymore. He's resigned and passed the church on to one of his spiritual sons. Asking Glenn, when did you know it was time to not quit, but to reposition from your pastoral role? He said, because I haven't seen where the church is supposed to go in 5 years. They were preaching, they were loving, the word was going forth, charity was going on. He said, I had just lost my vision for the future. And I understood this, because I lost some of that vision, that God was transitioning me. And with the transition, 10 years ago, he was given, I think about Brittany with this, he was given God praise and thanking God for everything he'd done in his life. And he asked God for something crazy. He said, you know, for my family and stuff, he said, I would really like to own like 5 acres and a house. Where he lives, 5 acres and a house is very expensive. So some 10 or more years ago, he just asked the Lord for something for himself. He said, could I have 5 acres and a house to raise my family in? A realtor at church came up to him and said, hey, I found 5 acres and a house. I know that we've been praying about that and stuff. And it was like astronomical. It was like $300,000. It was impossible. But God supernaturally made a way for him to purchase that property and raise his children in it. And what ends up happening is now it's time for him to retire and he's going to downsize. And he basically gets a knock on the door that some large business is coming into that area. He didn't know how he was going to retire financially. All he had was this asset. And they came up to him and said, we want to buy your property, 5 acres in this, and we're going to give you, and it was multiple millions of dollars for that property. Some of the things that, and it's not about money, friends, it's about souls. It's about our genealogy, our heritage, what God wants to do in the church, what God wants to do in our lives. Some of these small things, these gaps in our life that we see, if we can see it in the now, it's going to have ramifications in the future for our children and our children's children. And in this place, we are called, I believe this, we are called to be watchmen on the wall. We're called to be watchmen. I declare that over us this morning. I declare over this church, over this spiritual family, that we will be watchmen. That we will see what you want us to see. When Afghanistan was overtaken by the Taliban, one of the greatest losses to our military was that the Afghani soldiers, or the Taliban ended up with our night vision. For the first time, the enemy could see in the darkness like we could see. I just pray in the spirit, some of us get our night vision again, that we can see as well in dark days as we can in bright days, that we would be watchmen on the wall, that we would see what God has for us. In fact, you know, in really important times, Jesus didn't tell the guys to pray only. He told them to watch and pray. Well, I just pray this morning, I pray our eyes are open. Anybody ever had an opportunity to witness to somebody and you missed it, and you get in your car from the supermarket and you drive off and God was trying to show you something and you realize that you missed an opportunity because you didn't have eyes to see what God wanted to do in that moment, and you beat yourself up? And God doesn't beat you up. He just says, let me perfect your sight so that you can see these things in real time. So Lord, I pray for our eyes to be open. I pray that we would be like little children, humble and meek in our faith, because you said unless we enter in like a little child, we can't even see the kingdom, Lord God. So you show certain things to people of a certain heart. And so I just pray eyes open this morning in the spirit, whether it is through praying in tongues, whether it is through breaking bread in fellowship, whether it is through tithing, whether it is through mentors, mothers and fathers. Lord, you're bringing all things in today so that we can see, Lord God, what you have for us, because you've already given us, just like a microscope, it's already all there, we just don't perceive it. Just like you going into Jerusalem, they were waiting on the day of your visitation, but it said that they didn't see it. So Lord, help us to see. blind eyes open in the name of Jesus. Faith rise, adjustments in our lives happen. If we have any gaps in any of these keys of the kingdom that I've talked, Lord, help us to solidify those in our heart and step out in faith and do them. If there's someone in here this morning and you say, I want to accept Jesus Christ. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he was the spotless Lamb of God. He lived the perfect life for me, died as me, and rose again on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, so that I would not only live for him, but I would live like him by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you want to accept Jesus this morning, I want you to slip up your hand and I want to pray for you. It's a good day to see. It's a good day to perceive. I ask that we would all be able to look up our eyes like Jesus said at the well and see that the field is white unto harvest. Like ripe cherries about to fall off the tree, there are people so ready to be born again. Father, we thank you. I pray a blessing on my family this week. I pray that some of us would, in faith, pull out a journal. And whether it's in the nighttime, God, you give us a dream, we would write the dream down, what we see in the night season. If you show us something about you, Lord God, help us to exercise the muscles of our sight, Lord God. Help us to not be short-sighted, but to recall what it is that you're showing us. And Father, we give you the praise. Lord, I speak over my family, my fellowship this morning, Lord God, that we're going to have an abundant week. I thank you that old men and old women and young men and young women, that they were going to have dreams and visions in this church. I thank you that we are watchmen on a wall. So I bless my family. And Lord, I say that you would bless us. You've not only blessed us, but you keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You are gracious, merciful, and forgiving to us. You smile upon us and you give us peace every day. And so I thank you for this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.